I'm speaking this morning from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. Now, this is a verse of scripture which is quoted often by religious people everywhere, but so often misquoted and misused and misapplied. I want you to listen to it. It's a familiar scripture from Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, while people quote this verse of Scripture, they quote it everywhere for any occasion, especially death or sickness or tragedy. But this is the way they quote it. We know that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good. Seldom, very seldom, do we ever hear this verse quoted as it really appears in the Word of God. Very seldom. Now, unfortunately, I want you to listen carefully. Unfortunately, this is true of many scriptures which are quoted by people, but they're only quoted in part. And when these verses are quoted only in part, they totally lose their true meaning. Let me give you some examples. First of all, how many of you have heard this verse of Scripture quoted? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That is not what the Bible says. In John 6:37, it says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, comma, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is a part of a sentence. This is a part of a statement made by our Lord Jesus Christ in the 6th chapter of John. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh, that is those the Father hath given me, I will in no wise cast out. Here's another. Listen to this scripture. It's found over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to this. You've heard this. Well, you know, God is not willing that any should perish. That's not in God's Word. You say, but I know it is. I've heard that all my life. I beg your pardon. Let me read it to you from the Scripture. In 2 Peter 3, 9, listen. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Peter's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. He's talking to children of God. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what that scripture says. It does not say God is not willing. The name of God is in the upper part of the scripture. There are many words between God and His willing. God is long-suffering to usward, comma, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's another one. Well, you know, the Scripture says, whosoever will may come. No, I didn't know the Scripture said that. In fact, to be honest, the Scripture does not say that, not anywhere. Whosoever will may come, it doesn't say that at all. Now, if a man's willing to come to Christ, made willing by the Spirit of God, made willing by work of grace. The thought is true. The principle is true. If a man is willing to come to Christ, come on. But the Bible doesn't say that in those words. Whosoever will may come. I know it's a song. Whosoever will may come. But it's not scripture. That's found in Revelation 22:17. Listen to it again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Give the invitation. Crying to people to come. And let him that is athirst, the thirsty man, the hungry man, the weary man, the man who has a need, who needs the Redeemer, let him that heareth say, come, and whosoever, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, comma, let him take the water of life freely. You see what I'm saying? We have made religious cliches out of God's Word, and we have made it fit our convenience. and made it fit what we wanted to believe. These verses that I quoted to you, I could give you so many more. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. The Bible does not say that. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that. That's a saying that came out of Poor Richard's Almanac. And some of the things that men attribute to the Bible is just not in the Word of God at all. And the Scripture that we're on this morning, all things work together for good. You cannot say the Bible says that because the Bible does not say that. It does not say that at all. It's just not in God's Word. There are conditions that hedge about this promise and conditions upon which this promise rests. You've got to quote the whole Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. My friends, you cannot honestly claim any promise in the Word of God. You cannot claim any promise in the Scriptures unless to some degree you meet the condition laid down in that promise. Now that's so, and any liberal-minded person will have to admit that. Listen to these examples. Our Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now rest is the promise. What's the condition? Well, there are two conditions. First of all, if you're laboring and heavy laden, if you're weary and bowed down with sin, and if you'll come, there are two conditions there. Our Lord certainly has rest, is willing to give rest, is sufficient, has sufficient rest. But there's the condition you've got to meet. You've got to have a need, and you've got to come. Listen to this Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, salvation's the promise. What's the condition? To believe. No man's going to be saved that does not believe. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Listen to this Scripture. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Yes, it'll be given. You'll be found, and it'll be opened. But only if you ask, if you seek, and if you knock. And the verse of Scripture that's before us is our text in Romans 8:28, is the greatest promise in all the Word of God. Yes, it is. It's one of the sweetest promises that is given to the child of God. But it presents a definite condition that you cannot avoid, that you cannot get around, and a condition that's so positive you cannot claim the promise unless you meet the condition. Listen to it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, and only to them, and to no one else. To them who are be called according to His purpose. Now, there are two things that I want us to consider in this message. First of all, I want us to consider the conditions of the promise, those conditions that protect it, those conditions that hedge it about. The first condition is this. You see it already if you've got your Bible open, if you followed in this message. It says, all things work together for good to them who love God. To them who love God. Now, here you have a description of the people to whom the promise applies. Here you have a description of the people for whom the promise is given. Here you have a description of the people for whom everything, all things, bar nothing, work together for their good. Those who love God. Those who love God. Now, my friends, it may come as a surprise to you. It may come as a shock to you, but all men do not love God. All men do not love God. In fact, according to the Scripture, no unsaved, unregenerate man loves God, not according to God's Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, if you're not for me, and to be for Christ, you've certainly got to be regenerated. You've certainly got to be a believer. You've certainly got to be saved. If you're not for me, he said, you're against me. You're against me. No unregenerate, unsaved man loves God. Now, he may love the God of his imagination. I know someone sitting out there right now saying, well, I don't hate God. I think I can say I love God. Which God? Which God are you claiming to love? Which God are you claiming to serve? Every man loves his God. The heathen Hottentot in the heart of the jungle loves his God, but not the true and living God. You find pagan idolaters love their God, but not the God of the Bible. An unregenerate man may love a God of his imagination. He may love the God of his tradition. He may love the God of his religious superstitions. But according to the Scriptures, and that's what we're preaching, and that's the foundation of our faith and practice, according to the Scriptures, he does not love the eternal, almighty, living God. I'll show you that from God's Word. First of all, in Romans 8, 7. Romans 8, 7 says, the natural mind. Now, that's not the spiritual mind. That's the natural mind, the flesh, human beings. The natural mind is enmity against God. Enmity hates God. The natural mind. It doesn't hate its own God, its idols and false God, the God of its imaginations or superstitions. The God that is whittled out with its own penknife, but that natural mind hates the living God, the sovereign, almighty, living God. Listen to James 4:4. The friendship of this world is enmity against God. Whosoever would be the friend of this world, listen to the Scripture, is God's enemy. That's what God's Word says. And then listen to this. In Christ said, the world hateth me. He said to his disciples, don't be amazed if the world hates you. The world hated me before it hated you. And over in the book of Isaiah, in the promise of the Messiah's coming, God incarnate, Isaiah wrote, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. No, my friends, the natural mind, the natural man does not love God. He loves a God or some God or any God, but not the living, almighty, eternal God. Now, God is love for who he is. For who he is, not who we think he is. God is love for who he is, not who we think he is. And God is loved as he's revealed in his Word, not as he comes to us in a vision or in imagination or an idea. Well, this is the way I think God is. Well, that's all right. That's your business. And you claim to love that God. But don't claim allegiance to the true and living God. Because the true and living God must be loved for who he is, not who you think he is. The believer loves God. All things work together for good to them who love God. And the believer truly loves the living God. He loves God, I'll give you several ways. First of all, he loves God as sovereign. When Job went through all of his trials and difficulties and through all of these traumatic experiences, and he was told by his wife to curse God and die. Why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'll love him. And he said to another group, he said, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not charge God with foolishness. He loved God. He loved God. He loved God as sovereign. Whatever God did, Job loved him for it. Now, that's the true and living God. He's loved for who he is. If you can't love God as a sovereign God, then you can't love the living God because he's sovereign. If you can't love God who does as he will, when he will, with whom he will, then you can't love the God of the Bible. You love a God of your imagination, but not the God of the Bible. He's got to be loved for who he is because he changes not. He's not one thing to one person and something to something else to someone else. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you love him for who he is. Secondly, the believer loves God not only as sovereign, but as creator. As creator. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. No evolutionist can love God. He may love a God, he may love an idol, but he can't love the living God, because the living God, it says, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. He's before all things. By him all things consist. That's the living God. And if you can't love him as he's revealed in his person and in his attributes and in his true character, then you don't love God. And then thirdly, the believer loves God as King of Providence, total King of Providence. I like Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2, verse 6. This is the way Hannah prayed. She said, "The Lord killeth, and the Lord maketh alive. The Lord bringeth down to the grave, and the Lord bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. He bringeth low, and he lifteth up. Praise the Lord." Now that's loving God for who he is, whatever he does. Eli said this when he received the message from God's prophet that God would destroy his family. He said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what he will." There's a man who loves God, because God's going to do as he will. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of this earth. He giveth account to none of his creatures. None can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" You say, "That's not my God. That's my devil." Okay, have it like you will, but that's the God of the Bible. He creates good and evil. He creates light and darkness. Man's days are numbered. They're in his hands. A number of his months are with the Lord. He cannot pass. His bounds are set. That's the God of the Bible. You say that God's a monster. Then get ready to meet a monster at the judgment, because that's the God of judgment. That's the God of the Bible. You see, man reveals his hatred when God reveals himself. He loves his God. He loves what he thinks God's like. He loves what he wants God to be like. He loves what his preacher says God's like. He will not bow to what God says about himself. And therefore, he hates God. He hates God. And listen to this. Over the scripture says this, that the believer loves God incarnate in Christ. That's right. Incarnate. Thomas fell at the feet of Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And he looked up into his face and he said, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." Peter said this, "Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee." And the scripture says, "If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." And my friends, I know there are a lot of folks around who say, "Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God, but I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God at all." You can't know God. You can't love God. No man has seen the Father at any time save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And if you don't love the image, Christ is the image of God, the very image of God. If you don't love him who reveals God, then you don't love God, because God's revealed in Christ. "Show us the Father," the disciples said. Christ said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Do you love Christ? You've got to love Christ if you love God, because God is in Christ. Now, here's the conditions. All things, we know all things work together for good. To whom? For whom? To them that love God. Not a God, some God, or any God, or an idol God, or a presumed God, or a traditional God, or a religious God, or a denominational God, or your God, but God. The Lord our God's one God. Better find out who he is. You may not love him. Better find out what he says about himself. You may be one of those that says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" That's what Pharaoh said. The second conditions are these. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, called by his Spirit, called by his word. He that heareth the word and believeth on him that sent me. Called by his gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Called out of darkness. Out of the darkness of unbelief into the light of illumination and enlightenment and revelation. Called to repentance toward God. Called to faith in Jesus Christ. Called with a holy calling. Called of God. Read the following verses. Now listen to this. All things work together for good to them who love God, as he's revealed in his word, in his Son, and they are the called according to his purpose. Now listen to the rest of that. For whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, he called. He called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Now, friends, there is a general call that is heard by all men. Yes, sir, God has not left himself without a witness. Every human being born into this world in some way has an encounter with God. That's right. Every human being born into this world, he's one with whom we have to do. And an encounter is there. Here's the first way. The heavens declare the glory of God. Their voice is heard in every language. There isn't any man anywhere except blind people who haven't seen the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens and the things that are made. That's right. God's glory is revealed in the heavens. And secondly, God's glory is revealed in the things that are made. Creation. How wonderfully, David said, I'm made. Everything about us says, God made this. Oh, it's so amazing and so great and so wonderful, the things that God has made. And then every man's born with a conscience. I don't care who he is. The law of God is written on the conscience of every human being. There isn't a human being that at some time in his life has not realized something's wrong. By whose standards? Who gave him the standard of right and wrong? God did. He wrote it on his heart. The law of God's written on the heart. And then the preached word. So the scripture says we are without excuse. We have not walked in the light that God's given us, the light of creation, the light of heaven's glories, the light of conscience, the right light of the law, the light of the preached word. That's a general call, heard by all men and heeded by none. But there is, this scripture is talking about an effectual. You say, what's that word mean? It means it gets the job done. Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice, and they will come unto me, and they will follow me. Called of God, called by power, called by His Spirit, called by His Word, called to faith in Jesus Christ. That's right. We're born of His Spirit. Paul said, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me. These are the conditions of the promise. You hear them? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called. Has He called you through His word? If He has, you've heard and you've responded. Now here's the promise. Quote it. Can you quote it? And we know. That's the way it starts. And we know. How do we know? How do we know? Well, here's the way we know it. That promise is based on the Word of God. We know it because God said so. We believe it because God Almighty has declared it. Just like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Like Paul said, I know whom I have believed. John said, we know we passed from death unto life. It's something we know. How do we know it? Did we dream it? Was it just handed down from father to son? No, sir. We have the authority of His blessed word. This is what God has said. What I've been trying to preach this morning, I've authenticated it by the word of God. I've proven it by the scriptures. I've made a statement. I said, this is what the Bible said. And that's the reason we know. What do we know? We know that all things. What are all things? Well, some say that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Exactly. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because God certainly does His will in all things, and He's the first cause of all things. Some say, well, this is all things as in the following verses. What shall we say to these things? God's foreknowledge, God's predestination, God's election, God's calling, God's justification. Well, that's true. If God be for us, who can be against us? Some say, well, that means all things in birth, life, and death. Every minute detail of a believer's life, whether it be good or bad, whether it be painful or joyful, whether it be sorrow or happiness, whether it be success or failure, whether it be disease or death, all things, yes, sir, all things. That means Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That means all things in heaven and on earth. That means all things as far as the Scripture is concerned and the Word of God is concerned. That means all things that happen in my life from the day I was born till the day I die will work together. What do you mean work together? Well, I'm saying this. Nothing in God's providence works separately from God's purpose. All of these things work together. They don't work separately. They work together. Too much sorrow would lead me to despair. Too much joy would intoxicate me. Too much success would exalt me. Too much failure would discourage me. So all these things in God's good providence work together. God knows just how much of what to bring to me for my good. Now the word good. There's several uses of the word good, but this word here is not material good, contrary to what most of the TV preachers are telling you. Some of God's people are poor. They're materially poor. They don't have much. John Bunyan was one. I could name you thousands of others, and some of you are listening to me, and you say, well, I must not have much faith because I don't have much material possession. Don't pay attention to that foolishness. That's all that is, a pack of foolishness. And we're not talking about physical goods. Some of God's people are sick. Some of God's people have pain. All of God's people will eventually die. Some of God's people suffer. We're not talking about temporal good. We're not the fashion of this world or pass away. What will it profit me if I gain the whole world and lose my soul? We're talking about a twofold good. All things work together for good. The spiritual good, growth and grace, and the eternal good and glory of His people. Everything that God Almighty does, everything that God purposes, everything that God in providence brings to pass in my life, past, present, and future, good and bad, everything, because we love God, because we've been called according to His purpose, work together for our spiritual good, growth and grace, and our eternal good, we're going to be like Christ.